Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It is 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me again. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Chester Elton is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to have him back on the show. Chester is a very much sought-after speaker. He's a consultant to people all over the world, companies all over the world. He's vice president of performance recognition at the O.C. Tanner Recognition Company. He is, along with Adrian Gostick, the author of a number of books, including one of my favorites right in front of me, A Carrot a Day. Chester, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. Chester, I know, and I'm going to spring this on you a little bit, but I think you can handle it. I know we're going to talk about recognition in a second, but before we do, it hasn't been that long since you were in China.
That's right. I was there just last month.
Anytime my Brain Trust members take a trip overseas, they have to come back and talk to us about what they found. Tell us what you found in China.
Well, just an explosion of entrepreneurship. I mean, little businesses, big businesses, joint ventures. You know, the government is opening up there. The construction is just unbelievable. In fact, the joke is that the national bird of China is the crane, the construction crane, because buildings are just going up everywhere. It is remarkable to watch.
Well, and I'm going to give my audience a little peek at my 2005 predictions. And the reason I'm saying this, folks, is so you'll know. And by the way, these are already being published in some parts of the country in newspapers. But so folks, before I talked to Chester, I'd already predicted. One of my predictions was to watch China in 2005 to emerge as a major entrepreneurial force.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt there. You know, when you've got 1.2 billion people and the emerging middle class that they've got there. I mean, you know, our old picture of China is everybody in the Mao uniforms and everybody riding bicycles.
Right.
Well, they're trading those in for suits and automobiles in a real hurry, and business is just exploding there.
Well, you know, Chester, I said a long time ago that capitalism would defeat communism in China long before democracy ever got there.
Well, and you're exactly right. I mean, particularly with the information age, you know, we saw it kind of start with Tiananmen Square, where, you know, people could get on the web and they could get information that dispelled all those rumors and all that iron-fisted control of the central government. And the Chinese have been very smart, actually. You know, they look at Russia as the model of how not to do it. You know, you don't do political reform first. You do economic reform.
Right.
And it's working well for them.
Get the people excited, get their blood boiling about their possibilities for the future. And then, you know, that's what we've got to do in Iraq. When the Iraqis have an election, and they can start focusing more on their possibilities instead of the past and instead of the things that are wrong, that's when democracy and capitalism will break out in Iraq.
Well, and you capture people's imagination, you know, where you know, husbands and wives and fathers and mothers can see a better future for their children. And that's really been the basis, I think, of American entrepreneurism, where, you know, I'm going to make a better life for my kids. Well,
right.
When you're under those regimes where you're assigned everything and there are no dreams, I'll tell you a really interesting story I had. I used to love to talk to the cab drivers in New York City, you know, to see where they were from and what they did. And
yep.
Guy had an unusual accent, and he said he was from Romania. And I asked him what he did there. He said, well, I was a policeman. I was part of the secret police. I did very well. I drove the Mercedes-Benz, and I had a good life. I said, well, why would you come to New York to drive a cab? And he said, because in America, you have what the rest of the world wants. You have dreams.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's
wow.
The key. You need to come somewhere where you can dream and have a feeling that those dreams can come true.
Well, and see, when other countries, most other countries want our clothes, our movies, our music, etc. They want that Western, that American, those American things. But when they can imagine that these things that have sprung up over here could actually spring up over there, that's a different feeling, isn't it, for them?
It is, and you see it every day. I mean, Chinese are very driven. And, you know, the one thing about China that you don't have in a lot of other communist countries is they have a long history of entrepreneurism. you know, the old ports of Canton and Hong Kong and so on. They understand business very, very well, and now they're being able to get back to their roots, you know, the silk trade and the spices and so on, and they're just enjoying it. And by the way, it's just a delightful culture. I mean, it's very hard to get together with a bunch of Chinese businessmen and not laugh and have a great time. They enjoy business very much.
And do they speak English when they work with you?
They do. You know, we always go with translators and so on, but the language of business and the language of education, by the way, is English. When we went to Tsinghua University, and they billed themselves as the Stanford of China, they all spoke English very, very well.
Well, thank you for the work that you're doing in China and for helping entrepreneurs in China develop their dreams and grow their business over there. For what you're doing over there, we appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. It's interesting to ask. When we first went there, I wasn't sure how, you know, this treating people well and using the carrot instead of the stick would work. And, you know, our second book that we published, The 24 Carat Manager, is actually a bestseller in China. We sold the rights in Mandarin a few years ago. And everywhere we'd went, people had our books and asked them to be signed. And we were literally mobbed when we would finish to get to sign the book. And get more information. That's why we're very excited, actually, about our new book, A Carat a Day. Because, as you know, it's a tip a day. It's keeping that idea top of mind that really your most important people are your employees, and if they're engaged, your customers will be engaged, and it'll affect your bottom line. And again, that concept was embraced like we had we couldn't even imagine it being embraced any better than it was.
Congratulations on that great success, and well deserved. You know, right? Chester, my audience knows that I've been saying for a long time, if you want to have outrageous success, make sure that your employees become successful. Subordinate your own immediate success, your own immediate gratification, to make sure that your employees are successful. And the aggregation of all their successes is where you'll find outrageous success.
Yeah. You know, we talk about lifting other people into the spotlight so that you can achieve your goals. And that's true. You know, especially with small businesses, and it applies to large businesses as well, but you have to have that abundance mentality. You know, the old ideas of the managers where I'm in charge and if it's not my idea, it's not a good idea. I mean, that's so passe. You've got to take your people and get them what we call engaged in your business. Let them share in the successes and get them engaged in your worthy cause, because boy, they are the face to your clients. And you know, when I go into stores, for example,
let me stop you for a second. Hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back after these messages with our good friend Chester Elton, the co-author of A Carat a Day. That's their new book. But the other one that we've also told you about is The 24 Carat Manager, now an international book. 20 after. Stay with us.
I'll be right home.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Chester Elton, the co-author of The 24 Carat Manager and their new book, A Carat a Day. He and Adrian Agostic have written these books, and they're just catching fire all over the world. And Chester, I congratulate you on that. Good for you.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk some more about how we can, you know, as we peer over into 2005, Chester, let's think about what we can do to make sure that we get a running start in making sure that our employees are happy and motivated. You know, you're talking to a small business audience, Chester, as you know, and I fear that some people are still under the misconception that employees stay because of the money. Now, obviously, we got to pay our people decently, but in my career, I've never seen any research that showed that the financial issue was anywhere near the top of the list of why people left the company.
No, it's not. Actually, and it's interesting, you know, you do all the research, people, you know, forget the numbers, but they remember the stories, but the numbers are important. You know, Gallup, that did the biggest workplace survey ever, listed their Q12, the 12 reasons for highly productive and loyal employees, and, you know, cash doesn't make the list. Cash gets people in the door. The environment that you create keeps them there. And that's why we love, you know, this time of year when entrepreneurs and businesses are setting goals about how to retain their best employees, and why we like the Carrot of the Day. Because if you start every day with a little tip, and I know you do this on your website too, the tip of the day, you know, mm-hmm. the story of Robert Frost and the poem and so on, and get people engaged early in the morning. You know, good managers and good business people think of their people first thing in the morning. And in this book is just a lot of low-cost, no-cost tips on how you make people feel valued. Because if you feel valued, if you feel a part of the business, you're going to perform. I was saying right before the break, I love going to stores, you know, the music store, the guitar store that my daughter goes to. You walk in there and they're all musicians and they love music and they love what they do. And I'm telling you, you can't go in there and buy just a cord for your amp. You walk out with $200 or $300 worth of stuff because these guys are just so engaged in, have you got this? Do you need this? What are you doing? Where are you playing?
Well, it's community. They build community, don't they?
You bet. And, you know, don't we love going to – we've all gone into stores with the intent to buy, but the salesperson or the clerk or whatever was so disengaged, we walked out with the money in our pocket. And, you know, as a small business, you can't afford to let that happen.
Well, one of the things that I've said for a long time is that if you really want to understand how a small business can have a dominant brand, is to have your employees so connected to your goals of your and your business plan that they perform when customers come into the store, to the degree that whenever one of your customers thinks about that they need something that you have, that you sell, the first thing that pops into their mind is not what you sell, but one of your employees' faces.
Exactly.
That's the way to outrageous success.
Yeah, and talk about managing your brand. I mean, we've all talked to people that hate where they work. And when they talk about that place, how do you feel about their products? And conversely, when you talk to people that love where they work, how do you feel about those products? You want to go there. And like you say, there is no choice. There's no competition. If you want, you know, that guitar cord, that's where you go. Because you know the people there are going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And because that's the key today, isn't it? Customers want to be taken care of, don't we?
Well, sure. You know, it's so funny to me. You know, I walk into different stores, and because I do what I do, and I'm sure you do the same thing, I just kind of watch people's body language. Mm-hmm. I watch when they come up, how they engage me, you know. And to tell you the honest truth, Jim, it is so easy to be good to people and be nice to people and to be caring about people. I'm just shocked that it doesn't happen more. And why is it not happening? Well, it's probably the most important relationship in the business, and that's between the employee and that immediate manager and supervisor. If that's healthy and good, you'll see a much difference. And that's what we talk about in our book.
Tell us,
relationship right there is key.
Give us your website, please.
It's www.carrotbooks.com.
All right. And what do we find when we get there?
Well, you find some good articles and whatnot that we've written, some research. It gives you our calendar where we're speaking all over the country and all over the world. And, of course, it gives you a chance to buy as many books as you can possibly handle.
And where else is it available?
Well, it's
available. Are the books available?
You bet. It's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, but it's available at fine bookstores everywhere. In fact, it's available at the airport at the Borders bookstores there as
All
well.
Right. And don't forget the other one, folks, the 24-Karat Manager. Chester, looking at your book, you've literally got a different little motivational idea for every day. I mean, folks, this is not just a book. It's a calendar.
That's
and,
right.
And give us – we got about a minute. Talk to us about how you would recommend we use this.
Well, you know, it's got a little bookmark in it. We did that on purpose.
Yeah,
I would
pretty
just
cool.
Start the day every day, look up the tip for the day. The other thing I always like to do is look up my birthday and see what's there, you know. But it's that idea of, much like your website, Jim, about starting the day with a little positive piece of information about your employees. Not all the tips you're going to be able to do, but most of them are very low cost, no cost. Little things that help you get to know your employees better.
Low-hanging fruit. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit in here, folks, that Chester and Adrian have identified for you to help you get your people motivated without spending a lot of money.
That's right. That's right. Because the cash that you pay them will get them in the door. But the way you treat them will keep them engaged and keep them there with you.
I'm glad you mentioned my birthday. I'm not going to say what it is, Chester, but but on my birthday in your book, the header is The Power of Believing. What a great story. Thank you very much, Chester, for being here. Chester Elton, ladies and gentlemen, the co-author of A Carrot a Day. Thanks for being here, Chester. We'll see you next time.
You bet. Great to be with you, Jim.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Quick break. Right back with Jonathan Zook. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.